meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcoat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Listeners, it's time once again for the Shortcoat Podcast. Thank you. I always like to comment on my intros.
Yeah? How do you feel about this one?
I feel like that was very powerful.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was like definite. It wasn't, you know. Anyway, thank you so much for making us a part of your week. I'm Dave Etler. You want to know who else is here? Listeners, Ellie Ginn.
Woohoo.
Mark Mubarak.
Hello.
Tony Rosenberg.
Huzzah.
And Mark Terrell.
Yeah, for a second I thought you just like said my name funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're doing like things.
Mark Terrell is here.
Everyone can
David Pavitt.
Or as we call him, Huzzah.
You can call me that.
It is amazing in Iowa right now. Am I right?
Yeah.
Not only have the politicians moved on to other states, but it's 60 degrees outside. It's sunny. Mm-hmm.
Spring fever.
I mention it because this weekend my family and I are off to Chicagoland, where we will be staying at an indoor water park where they keep the temperature at 85 degrees. And we booked it during a stretch when it was close to zero. And we were hankering for some warmth.
Right.
So that's money well spent.
Chicago's the greatest place.
You can get anywhere. You can get anything you want in Chicago.
You can.
Yeah. I want to start off today by asking you to name something that was wrong in medical school this week. Just name something. Out of the blue, totally randomly, without having picked it ahead of time.
Awkward silence.
You mean this? What happens in this podcast sometimes?
Yeah. I think it's interesting because there's so many different personality types in medical school. I'm more of like a loud, outgoing personality. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in certain scenarios, there are people that are just, it's like crickets. And you're like, come on, let's talk, let's do something.
And then you'll feel awkward that you're the one talking and doing stuff.
And then I like regress back into my body and I'm like, oh, I might as well just go on my computer now because that's what everyone else is doing. I don't know.
So this happens in like, I think of this as happening a lot in lectures where, you know, the lecturer might, you know, try to sort of flip the classroom, whatever they're calling it, like, and try to ask you, you know, a question and you're supposed to answer and that's supposed to engender discussion. And basically that never works. I feel like
we also have small groups too, though. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You think it's a confidence issue? What's the problem? What are these people? What are these quiet people feeling that makes them? They not do the homework?
I don't know. I think we're not the quiet people coming on the podcast.
Ellie's quiet.
I'm being quiet.
All right, Ellie.
Ellie's
what
quiet.
Do you feel?
Yeah. What do you feel?
I'm actually very extroverted. So.
Oh well, there goes that.
Sorry, I can't speak to that.
Come on, speculate.
I think it's sometimes jokes not landing or references. Everybody has such different kind of backgrounds of things they're into. Mm-hmm. I've noticed, I'll be like, the way you said that seems like you're making a reference towards a joke or a movie, but nobody's catching
it. Happens all the time.
And it gets quieter and quieter. And just after so many hits, you know, you're just defeated. So you keep quiet.
So you're thinking these people are all trying to be comedians in class and they're just sucking at it?
I'm speaking from personal experience.
Right.
So if you want to tell me my comedy sucks,
right. No, that's definitely part of it because you get the... And there's a lot of goofy personalities in medical school, but then there's some people who are very serious, and that can make me uncomfortable sometimes.
Well, we were talking about this a lot this past week, me and some other people, that I'm very type B for someone who's in med school, and some people are very type A, and it's like everything has to be like perfect and laid out, and like if it's not structured, it drives them crazy, and I'm kind of just like...
And small groups is not a very, and especially structured thing. I mean, some... Right?
Yeah.
You may have a different facilitator every week.
Depends on your facilitator, how they foster it.
Yeah.
But the type A and B thing, I think, is very much a spectrum because there are definitely elements of type A in every single person in med school.
Hmm. Well, we've all heard the phrase, fake it till you make it, which is particularly appropriate in medical school. When I always think of like students meeting with patients for the first time. I mean, that must be, you guys have done this in early clinical experiences, right? I mean, is that kind of difficult to do you interact with patients from the get-go, or do you like hang back and then are you introduced slowly to the concept?
Week two?
Yeah, week two. Right,
so you're like asking questions.
Right in there.
I think
is that intimidating or is it?
It kind of depends. I think the white coat kind of definitely conveys something. So when a patient sees you in a white coat, it's automatically like, oh, you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you all these questions.
But does that help you? Is that a good shield for you? Because here's what I'm getting at. I I suspect that, you know, any feelings of inadequacy you may have going into a room is just because you know, lack knowledge, you lack confidence.
We're only in week two.
You're only in week two. I mean, it's a lot to ask of you to be confident in that situation. But it seems like a lot of people are familiar with this when I mentioned it to them earlier today. But for those of you who aren't, Amy Cuddy is a social psychologist. I was watching her TED Talk from 2012 the other day about how body language can shape who you are, right?
Oh, that's a great talk, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So powerful people expand their stances. They open up. They take up more space. And, you know, alpha animals do this. It's been shown that they have higher testosterone and lower cortisol levels. Testosterone being a dominance hormone, I guess, is what she called it. I don't know about, you know. But lower cortisol means less fear, I guess, right?
Less stress.
Less stress. Powerful, effective leaders do this too. And powerless people sort of close up, they hunch over, they take up less space. That's what I do. higher cortisol, low
testosterone. Is that why you're in the fetal position right now?
Yeah, I'm just...
Dave, get off the floor.
I'm sorry. I'd be so powerless. But
Dave's actually standing on his chair above us right now.
Looking down.
I can't make eye contact with him.
When people are forced to change their roles, they're moving from powerless to powerful. Their hormone levels actually flip. So I thought today, as a sort of practice... For your next week, maybe to bolster any feelings of inadequacy you've had this week, we're going to do some power poses. So, what I want you to do is everybody stand up, turn away from each other.
Turn away.
No turn away. Tori, get out your phone for some photos.
Oh goodness.
Oh boy.
So, I can't see anybody. Hopefully, you guys can't see each other, right?
Are we going to compare power poses?
Well, you know, we're just gonna do some power poses.
What are these?
So we're going to do them for 2 minutes, and we're going to describe how we feel doing them. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, strike a pose.
Can we describe what we did?
Okay, so I have... Let's start with Mark. Mark, how do you feel right now?
So I feel silly, because the first thing I did was, like, for whatever reason, grab my stomach.
Right, your stomach.
Right on the sides of my belly, I put both my hands.
My stomach is a source of power. People look at my stomach and they
actually,
go,
in martial
God
arts,
damn it, that guy, he's got some power.
In martial arts, that's a real thing, actually.
Is it really?
What do you mean?
You're supposed to change your breathing from your chest writhing to your abdomen.
See, I always breathe in my abdomen.
Well,
so
you're just a natural martial artist.
So wait, you're supposed to breathe from your stomach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, also in Pilates, it's called your powerhouse. So there you go.
Right. Well, hey. It's a lot of Eastern thought focuses on the idea of, like, the stomach actually as the center of power and the abdomen, like the abdomen as a whole.
All right.
So much knowledge.
What about you, Tony?
I feel kind of ridiculous, but also kind of awesome. I'm doing like a Superman pose.
Yes.
With one arm up in the air.
That's a classic.
Like I'm gonna jump and fly around the building.
Right.
You know, in her TED Talk, Cuddy mentioned that that's actually something of a universal gesture. So even if you've been blind from birth, in other words, you've never seen people make this gesture that you're making, they still make that people like that can still make this gesture when they're feeling, you know, extremely happy, excited about some sort of accomplishment. So.
I feel very excited today.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Marcus Terrell?
Yeah.
What's your, are you?
I'm doing another classic, hands on the hips, you know, arms out to the side. The Wonder. Chest wide.
The Wonder Woman.
The I was Wonder about to
Woman.
Say.
You're such a wondrous woman.
Oh, come on, man.
I was going to say, Mark.
You can't shake me, though. That's how confident I am right now.
Mark and I are twins then, because I'm doing the same
one. Oh, wow.
I am also doing the Wonder Woman. It's apparently, it's apparently a very powerful, very powerful pose. I feel like I could conquer the world right now.
Oh yeah,
feeling pretty in charge.
Look down.
So you're supposed to do this for 2 minutes, maybe at a moment when you're feeling you know, particularly vulnerable, which, you know, happens to all of us in the course of a week, I would think, unless you're like a psychopath.
That would be me.
Tony's shown signs of that. So
mm-hmm. Yes. All right. We may return to our seats. Oh man, you guys are. I turned around early.
Uh oh.
And I just
the feeling of
power I
washed
got
washed over you.
It was like a short circuit to my brain. So try this out. I would like to hear more about your experiences in the power pose. And let me know. Yeah, just let me know how it goes. If you've listeners, if you try this, feel free to drop me a line. Tell me how it worked. Tell me if you can establish any empirical evidence as to its efficacy in your life. Maybe you got a good exam grade after you did this. I don't know. Just a thought. There we go. Hey, Zika, still in the news. I feel like I talk about Zika a lot lately. Like Ebola, last time there was an epidemic. Still in the news. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know if it actually does anything other than make people mildly ill. But it's, you know, people are freaking out. The world is going batshit crazy trying to figure out what to do about it.
People love going batshit crazy.
They do. I don't know. I guess it's like the default thing to do when you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I remember with Ebola and everyone is like reading about it. And I was in Chicago working at the time. And all my coworkers were like, oh, did you hear the new thing? I'm like, I'll be concerned when someone with Ebola like walks into the same elevator that I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, well, until then, I'm not really that worried that I'm going to get Ebola.
Well, exactly. I think that's a great point. And that's a lot of what we're seeing is everyone's on the internet, right? And everyone's all connected. So for the first time, people are being exposed to all of the bad things happening in the world at all times. And I don't think as humans we're used to being able to kind of allocate the amount of risk to us, so we just see all these bad things all the time, like killings and shootings, and we overestimate their risk to us just in our local space. I mean, if you think about when humans were like growing up as like a young species, they'd just be in little tribal settings where occasionally something bad would happen. Yeah,
you're like limited. You're, you know,
you're
basically
not hearing about everything on the planet.
You're concerned about lions and you know, maybe the occasional broken ankle or whatever.
Right.
Which, and they're like a crazy neighbor or someone.
And they're crazy neighbor.
And like the sun god. And
yeah. Well, you know, it's not just regular, ordinary, everyday people who are freaking out about it, but, you know, officials in various countries are freaking out about it too. And, you know, so there was the report this week that a state in Brazil has suspended the use of a larvicide called pyriproxifen, after a report from a physicians group in Argentina claimed it was the real cause of Zika. And so Brazil immediately banned it, you know, which from a perspective of risk mitigation, from a human perspective of risk mitigation, seems like a reasonable response. You know, well, we don't know.
Study though?
It was if a physicians group that advocates against pesticides. Right.
This is a classic example of like one of the biggest problems we have right now is people not understanding science and how it works.
Yeah.
Is people see a single result of a single study and they're like, oh, that's it. We need to change everything.
Yeah, I just want to point out that this wasn't exactly a study. This was just a bunch of physicians saying, you know, there's this larvicide that we use in these same places where mosquitoes are and, you know, to kill mosquitoes. And, you know, that's probably what's causing microcephaly and birth defects. And so Brazil was like, well, out of an abundance of caution, we're gonna ban the use of this insecticide. And, you know, this goes back to sort of what you were saying is that, you know, people are very bad at evaluating risk. You know, they're very much able to focus on only one risk at a time and not evaluate that in terms of the other risk. So I think probably my guess is that Zika, Zika is actually, the mosquitoes is actually a greater risk. We know about that risk, first of all. Mm-hmm. That is a true risk that we are aware of. And then the insecticide, the larvicide is we don't even know if it's a risk. It's just like, you know, we're gonna.
Everyone should just have a really highly fashionable insect, like mosquito net bodysuit.
I've seen those.
Custom bodysuit?
There was one, yeah, so I'm from Georgia originally, and mosquitoes are pretty terrible down there. There was a guy running, like about dusk, in a full mesh.
That's what I was gonna say. You just described like a full fishnet.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Is that what you're advocating?
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Was this a form-fitting thing? Because runners
Their normal clothes.
No, I want this to be like a form-fitting, this is like part of my skin.
You can have like a belt here.
Actually, I think that would that maybe wouldn't like work cape. Real well because
then
that
you
would
can
be
just do your power pose and your
seriously
mesh outfit.
You don't even need to power pose if you have a cape on. That's all
I'd
you
be
need.
The coolest guy in school, and I'd run around in like a little Segway with my mesh cape.
I don't think you're describing somebody segue? Who should feel powerful.
I'd feel so powerful if I did that. Maybe like a hoverboard.
Oh, man.
Those things which would then so explode.
Yeah.
I gotta know more about this suit, though. Was it homemade, do you think?
I don't think so. It looked pretty professionally done.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there was some mobility, though, because he was just jogging along.
Well, there's like...
Mobility is important when you're moving.
Suits yeah. kind of are like that. Did it look any
It didn't have the hat, no. Oh.
It's got to be breathable, though. It's got to be right. breathable, and it should
Well, but
come
if
in.
It's mesh, then it has to be.
Exactly. That's yeah. what I'm saying. This is like a really good idea.
It was kind of like if you take the stuff off of a screen porch and just make it a little more flexible.
Fantastic.
But if it's form-fitting was it and mesh, like a solid... there's no problem for the mosquito.
Yeah. I was gonna say, don't you want like a solid inch of space?
What?
Like a good amount of space between you and the mesh?
Yeah, I mean, he had on normal clothes underneath the mesh.
Fantastic.
The clothes aren't enough?
Well, but they were shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh, here we go. We got some pictures.
Oh, looks like it's a thing.
I just see Wookiees
from this distance.
That's it.
Everyone right. just needs to have those. We can drop them off with a plane, drones, send in some drones with those suits.
It's got to be better than... And also, you know, it could take care of the other thing that was proposed as a solution, which is, you know, not having sex. Because
so if you have a mosquito suit on?
If you have a mosquito suit on,
yeah,
you're pretty much not going to have sex.
Didn't they? What about better use of contraception?
Oh. No.
What are you, an abstinence-only policy?
No,
I think Dave secretly gets funds from the mosquito suit companies.
Yeah.
Did Obama... Did I read that Obama abolished funding for abstinence only?
Yeah. Is that what it was here in the States? I thought it was in the UK.
I think it was Obama. At least that's what popped up on my phone the other day. So
maybe Obama did it in the UK.
Yeah, we didn't. I didn't research it.
Whoa.
Let's not start rumors
Obama,
now.
Obama.
So and the WHO. The other thing that the WHO is
who.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
I couldn't help myself.
This week...
Someone's feeling very confident.
Yeah. I'm the worst. That power pose goes straight to the head, man.
Destroy him. This week, the WHO also suggested that it may be time to use genetically modified mosquitoes to eliminate the spread of Zika. These are...
Heard that.
Sterile males. Mosquitoes who would be released to mate with wild females. They've used
I think
it.
They've done that's that. Happened.
They've used
they
it with some success
before.
With dengue.
Right, which is terrible.
Dengue is terrible. Let's be clear. Okay.
Terrible. I mean, they're both terrible.
Yeah. So and then you know some other people are concerned about the environmental consequences of eliminating mosquitoes, which I don't know. I guess 80s Aegypti aren't really native to the Americas, so in theory. Their elimination wouldn't
no problem
harm the environment, but
do they know when they
bugs
invaded?
Are important.
Hmm? Do they know when they invaded?
I think they do. I think they. It was like hundreds of years ago. Is all I read. Okay. I didn't delve that deep into it. Thanks for exposing me.
They should just release
lack of knowledge. Oh. Appreciate that.
Sorry.
So confident.
I just sit like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curl up.
Scrunch up, you jerk.
They should just release like thousands of bats.
Oh, yeah, that would...
Snatch up all the mosquitoes.
That would work.
Rabies!
That would work.
I think between that and the form-fitting mosquito mesh bodysuit, we've got a real solution.
I just don't know...
anything else in the world.
I don't think so.
There's no other option.
I'm still not sold on the form-fitting, though. Your theory of...
Yeah.
Still being able to be bit...
If it's form-fitting
doesn't really help the problem.
No, it wouldn't... don't worry about it.
You could have two layers that crossed.
Yes, yeah.
Just make micro holes.
Yeah.
You had a great business idea earlier today when I was talking to you, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Ellie was talking about being in Family Med and how they pulled out the feces chart more frequently than she thought that they might.
So wait a minute. Why is this? Because I've noticed that old folks tend to put a lot of stock in poop. things like consistency and frequency. Is this true for family medicine?
Yes.
Is this true for family medicine? Like, you know, like my father-in-law.
You
make it sound like that's just part of growing old. Yeah. Like, not like anyone's asking them. Like, when they go to their doctor, hey, could you tell me about the consistency?
I don't think it's... Okay, so
I'm not saying...
Like, when you get old, you just start caring about it.
You buy a moleskin and you just write it down every day. I don't know.
Start your day with a poop journal.
I'm not saying that old people... are necessarily by the fault of their age interested in poop. I'm saying that maybe older people are more likely to have grown up at a time when medical knowledge was, you know, less.
A little shittier.
Who invited him?
I'm sorry.
And
you can kick me out.
And so, you know, the thing, one of the things that they had to mark their health was, you know, basically the consistency and frequency of defecation. And my father-in-law used to ask, you know, if you were sick, he would say, well, when did you poop today? You know, as though that was a reliable biomarker of
everything.
Health. Of health. But anyway, sorry.
There's definitely less reliable.
I wanted to know you, what you mean by, like, in what circumstances does this get pulled? I mean, I suppose a patient comes in and says,
yeah, I mean, you can kind of, they used it mostly to see if they were dehydrated. Okay. And, like, yeah, they were having any type of GI problem, regardless of their main presenting problem. They just pulled the chart out, and then they would identify. It's on a scale of 1 to 6, I think, and mm-hmm. they would just pick whichever picture.
On a scale from 1 to watery. How watery is it?
I thought you were going
to
say that. Yeah. On a scale from brick
so
to water.
So then they pick which one
how well
their
drawn.
Poop most looks like.
How well drawn is the chart?
See, there's different versions, so I'm sure you could find
you
the
like
artist.
Well, this
the
was
artist
a, is there
that
a
most appeals
version?
To you.
Okay.
Is there a letter poop chart?
And my patient population.
Cross-section.
Yeah. Find the one that your patient population actually.
See, well, this was to this my idea about plastinated fecal specimens that you could keep in like a jar with gloves inside, and then you could just have the patient kind of feel it out for themselves. And I came up with this idea a couple years ago that you could buy feces from your favorite athletes, and it would be called Fantastic Feces for Friends and Foes.
Oh,
and you could go online and
but
buy,
you
like,
need to
you gotta qualify.
You need to
what,
specify
for what purpose?
Why.
For
yeah.
what purpose? So there are certain diseases.
This goes back to my stalker statement.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
You should
yeah.
be on
I think Tony's purpose came after the idea.
It did,
like,
yeah.
I need to justify this.
No. So for like inflammatory bowel disease or C. diff or yeah. stuff like that, you can actually use a fecal transplant yep. to take that mm-hmm. other person's microbiome and implant it into the person with C. diff.
This just occurred to me. So, you know, for C. diff, they actually generally use like a spouse's feces for that. So I'm just wondering if they might get offended that someone is wanting
better
poop.
Wow, divorce is over this, yeah.
I don't want my spouse's generic feces.
You have LeBron's poop?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I had to choose spouse or like MJ, I'm going MJ all day, every day. But that's probably going to be like $1,000 for MJ.
Are you talking about Michael Jackson?
Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Either way, though, I mean,
come
Michael
on,
Jackson,
Chicago.
that would be like billions.
Because, you know, you can't tell me that somewhere out there somebody doesn't have a specimen from Michael Jackson. I can't
tell you that.
I know he's no longer with us, but I bet.
I'm just wondering how intact that microbiome would still be, though.
Well, I mean, see, this is the thing. This is why I think this idea is genius.
It has some
not
value.
Because it will work, but
thank
because
you for qualifying
but that. Because I'm willing to bet that a significant portion of the population would be excited to have, you know, a specimen of their favorite celebrities, you know, effluence.
What do you think they would
to
do
put
it?
In their
do you
collection?
Think it'd be a coffee table piece, like a conversation starter.
Yeah, I
like,
mean.
I've noticed the massive
frame on
turd
the wall.
In the room.
You've seen, you know, like the
shadow box.
The pictures of like the places in like Seattle or Portland that sell like marijuana. It's like there's like a big like glass case with like everything
yeah.
underneath it.
I'm picturing.
So you're going big. You're envisioning a collection.
Oh, a collection.
One. Like,
whoa.
You know,
no, collection.
I love artist A. I have their poop. I didn't picture.
No, I'm picturing. Well, no, I'm picturing. There's going to be like a physical store. It's like an Amazon type of thing.
But once
there's
they buy it,
store.
Where is it going?
Maybe you'll get a real weirdo who will go and like plant it in his own toilet and like try and convince people that like MJ visited, and they're like, "Go on, check the poop. Come on, man."
And that possibility.
What other?
It's Tupac.
Bragging rights.
Hadn't occurred to anyone.
They'd be like, "Oh, hold on, let me just flush." MJ was over. The Martin Scully's of the world would buy it.
Oh, man. He tried to buy Kanye West's, our old friend Martin Shkreli, Farmer Bro, tried to buy Kanye West's album, I think, this week and was unsuccessful.
Doesn't Kanye
like
need money, though? Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah, but
Kanye just compared himself.
Well, here's what happened. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this week he compared himself to Stephen Curry and Michael Jordan.
What?
He said he was like the equivalent of both of them put together.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
No, physically, maybe. But
Martin Shkreli tried to buy Kanye West's album for, you know, some absurd amount of money. And it turns out he was scammed. out of his Bitcoin to the tune of more than $1 million, I think.
I thought it was, yeah.
He had some sort of Twitter meltdown over it. Like, give me back my money!
Oh, wow. $1 million? Wow.
So, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Anyway.
I'm surprised his finances aren't locked up. Isn't he under investigation right now?
Well, just because you're under investigation.
I thought they lock it up. Though,
because Shkreli.
He had, investment fraud.
Oh. Well,
yeah, I don't know. Like, what the terms of
that? I guess he's got some. Let him buy albums.
Well, remember, it's Bitcoin, he probably.
I recently watched a Vice interview of him, and he, like, comes in, like, riding on a hoverboard and, like, pours a bottle of wine and, like, plays some interviewer in, like, chess.
See, hoverboards are powerful, man.
Well, they're something.
No, I like this idea. I like the idea of a display case. I was thinking more it would be a display case of, like, capsules of. But you're just going full on. Like,
oh yeah,
plastinated specimen.
Not plastinated. If it's friendly feces, you need the real stuff.
Oh my god!
And then we'll send it to you in a vacuum sealed bag.
It's like the worst episode of the Short Code podcast ever.
Or the best episode.
Or the best. We'll let the viewers. We'll let the listeners decide. Moving on. We've spoken on the show about 3D printing many times. We've spoken about the creation of body parts from scaffolds of tissue. Basically created by washing the cellular materials out and just leaving behind the wet collagen matrix. And then repopulating those scaffolds with cells from the recipient. Now it's becoming possible to combine the two ideas. So we've got 3D printed scaffolds, and then we've got the implantation of a water-based gel with a cellular material in place. And this is something Wake Forest researchers are doing. Mm-hmm. And they include blood channels. I'm not going to call them vessels because, I mean, I'm just going to call them blood channel. Because they're not blood vessels, right? I mean, they're not yet blood vessels. They include channels to keep the organ alive after implantation.
If they study really hard one day, maybe they'll be a blood vessel.
They'll graduate. Animal testing has seen the parts develop into functional tissues that develop their own blood supply and and they've printed soft muscle, cartilage, bones. Wow. I think that's amazing. The animal tests have been short term so far.
I believe they've used a 3D printed trachea, right? To actually put into a woman who had cancer and it got resected and they actually used it. I think that happened.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. So I just think this is the coolest thing ever. If you've listened to the show ever before, you've heard me say that I love 3D printing and I think it's the coolest thing. But I'm blown away. To make soft tissues like muscles with 3D printing is like super super amazing.
Does that mean I could just like 3D print a ribeye?
Oh, you know what?
Right, but theoretically.
Again, with the business idea.
They did do. There was that one guy that he made. They were trying to do replacement meat, like lab generated meat.
Yep.
And it was like $100,000, but he did make a hamburger.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I should call that guy.
Yeah,
I think
together you can rule the world.
It'll be interesting with the 3D printing, like how they do approval for those devices, since each one is, you know, the whole appeal is that it's unique to your body.
Yeah.
Since there's no specifications beyond like kind of generic parameters, how that FDA like approval is going to happen.
It's not equivalent to, yeah, I guess I can't really
think of. Because a lot of those devices, you get the big thing made and then you'll shave down to your specific need.
Yeah.
And is there going to be like a value pack or something?
So if you want the like
Tony is still in this business idea.
What am I purchasing here?
So if you want the
printer,
cheap
am I going to get the Bentley or like the Ford Focus?
No.
Well, the Bentley comes with a toy. Give you a little heart.
Tony wants to start manufacturing muscles so he can actually be Usain Bolt. Instead of just buying the poop.
Yeah,
that's very clever.
Yeah, just facets coming together here.
Get some fast twitch.
I don't know. You guys are getting a glimpse into my mind. It's a scary place.
I had never been there before. I think I need some help.
I need some help.
Well, okay, that's good. I like the idea. Keep it up, Tony.
Thanks.
Let's see if you can do this. Let's see if you can continue to generate business ideas. I think we can say to our listeners that they're free to steal any of these ideas from Tony.
I just might...
Do you disagree?
Well, I might have to invoke my Italian background if they do that.
Oh, dear.
We'll leave that where it is.
Rosenberg?
Got a Jewish last name. Mom's Italian. Leave me alone. Tony I'm just Rosenberg saying, spells it out for you.
I'm just saying, listeners, don't be too frightened.
Rosenberg.
Just watch out for the power stance, though.
Yeah. Can't let him get
all bets set. Are off. All bets
you got
are
2 minutes to stop him.
Picture like plaid monsters coming to my home and dragging me.
They're alive.
Like, but it's so form-fitting. They look great.
Oh, man.
It'd be really fashionable. It'd be great.
Did you guys read about this hospital that was hacked and had all of their data encrypted by the hackers and then basically was held ransom this week?
In Hollywood.
What?
Yeah.
Hollywood Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
The hackers, basically, they're not really quite sure at this point, think how it happened. That's still under investigation. But typically, this type of exploit is on the rise in general. And hospitals are, you know, despite the sensitive nature of the data that they collect, I guess hospitals are kind of behind the times in terms of best practices for data, security. And so Hollywood Presbyterian was hacked. Basically, all of their patient data and other data was encrypted by the hackers, and then the encryption key was held for ransom. Early reports said that they paid something like $3.4 million to have the encryption key sent back to them. But in truth, it turns out they only paid up 40 Bitcoin, or $17,000, to unlock their medical records.
But they got the code?
They did. They did. They're back in business.
Say there's not another secret code, and they're not still watching.
Well, that's a good. That's a good point.
They've had the data, so there's probably copies of.
I don't. They didn't talk much about that. They said the hospital, of course, says that no patient or employee data was actually exposed. it seems kind of hard to believe.
I have kind of a question about that actually, in terms of.
Well, I will, as a data security expert, I will attempt to answer your question.
Not necessarily about the data itself.
Oh, okay.
But the fear that people have for their medical information to be released, is this strictly for insurance purposes, or is it for privacy purposes?
So there was an article about this I read a while ago of when this was on the rise. So what they're doing is basically they go into your hard drives and encrypt it. So you don't have access to your own thing. So they lose everybody's records, so they can't do business. So that's the huge financial killer. Not necessarily like the whole HIPAA and privacy, although that's super important. I'm not talking down on HIPAA. That's the big issue, is I can't conduct business if I can't access records.
Got it.
So that was the whole we'll give you the key back, you have 24 hours to decide, or we're going to lose the key as well, and that's gone forever.
Patient care too, right?
Right, yeah, I was going to say, exactly. For any patients who are actually in the hospital.
You're hemorrhaging huge cash because you can't accept patients. You have to transfer all your patients out at your own expense because you screwed up. It's just a huge
financial killer.
You lost
all their, or at least potentially all their medical.
Yeah, plus you got providers running around the hospital with paper and pencil and trying to do their jobs without access to, I don't know. I actually tried to figure out what EMR they were using, but I didn't have any luck. My Google foo did not prevail.
Such a data technology expert.
Mark, when you said you have 24 hours, I heard the 24 thing in my head.
I think that's what comes up on the screen.
That was totally what it is.
It's a good impression of it.
You know, every year I see M1s enter medical school and I think to myself, it looks so young. You guys have only recently arrived, Mark, Tony, and Ellie.
I feel young.
Babies.
You guys look so young and fresh-faced. And
Ellie's almost 24. She's
so full of life. Mm. Yeah, but the point is med school hasn't beaten her down yet.
Yes.
And when you graduate, I see how mature you all look, so ready to face the world.
Nice yet tagline.
Haven't
beaten her down yet.
Right, and then you switch to mature.
Yes.
You know.
But she just needs a new microbiome.
Well, I bring this up because one Palm Beach area teen said, screw that. I ain't doing none of that. I ain't going to no med school. 18-year-old Malachi Love Robinson was arrested earlier this week for practicing without a license.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I'm more concerned that his middle name is Love.
Well, it turns out...
is that real?
There's something to that. He was arrested...
His middle name is Danger.
His last name?
He was...
Hyphen.
He was arrested for practicing without a license after doing a physical exam on an undercover officer.
Wait,
thickens. Yeah.
Are we talking prostate exam?
I don't think. I didn't specify. the articles I've none of the articles I've read specified.
I also am just I didn't know there were undercover officers for that kind of thing to pretend to be patients.
Well, I think they had been alerted.
Maybe some of the PETAs go down to Florida.
Yeah. Standardized patients. I think they were.
Second guess every room you walk in, man. Are you a cop? Yeah.
You got to tell me if you are. Yeah.
I think that they were on to him, so they opened an investigation.
I mean, but where is this? I mean, is he going into an office and pretending to be a doctor?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
He opened his own clinic.
What?
In West Palm Beach. He hired a staff. He built a website. He had an open house for his clinic. He posted. He had a Facebook page for his business called the New Birth New Life Medical Center and Urgent Care LLC. He created a health grades page claiming to be a 25-year-old naturopath.
This kid's going to be successful.
Well, it's like real-life catch me if you can.
How old was he?
Yeah,
right,
it is.
He is 18. This is not his first brush with the law. In episode 63 of the Short Code podcast, we talked about him.
Throwback.
After he was spotted in a hospital in West Palm Beach posing as a gynecologist for about a month.
Mm. Okay, that's what I was searching for. I didn't want to say it if I wasn't correct.
Well, I was reading this article, I was like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar.
I know this name.
I know
how
this
many Love
guy.
Robinsons are there right
Actually,
now?
Actually, his name wasn't reported in the earlier one because he was 17, I think. That is the reason why.
Tell me all of your business ventures, you need to make sure they're legal first.
Imagine the authorities. They let this kid go, and they find him again. Yeah, this time, he's just made a clinic.
You!
He has a website, yeah.
He has denied
does
that
he look 25?
No, he does not. I don't know. I think it depends on the context, because the pictures I've seen, he's got the white coat on, he's got some glasses, he's, you know, posing, he's doing a power pose. I don't know, but he's done a couple stand-up interviews on news shows, and those he looks more adult than the photos he was using for his business.
This goes back to the fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. You know, we're going full circle on the podcast today.
Wow.
Maybe he'll receive an honorary doctorate from.
Oh yikes.
He's denied he did anything wrong. He told ABC News.
Of course.
He told ABC News that he has said he has a PhD. He told ABC News he has a PhD, but he wouldn't say in what field, and he was unable to explain what his medical training entailed. I love these quotes from his grandfather, who told a TV station, "Well, once he opened up the office and the practice, I felt like it was something legit that he's trying to do. If he has slipped and did something wrong, I just ask everybody pray for him." Whoops.
I was kind of wondering.
I told everybody I was a doctor when I wasn't.
Well, that's the thing. He obviously has people who know him.
You went so much farther than that.
Oops. Yeah. He obviously has people who know him and probably live in the area.
I think
they
that,
just didn't say
Well,
anything.
I think the tip, from what I read, the tip-off came from some concerned relatives who was like, crazy Malachi from the other side of the family.
I think it's impressive he built up the capital of, like, I'm going to rent out an office space. I'm going to sign it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make
Start
fake degrees. He had them all on his
wall.
Yeah,
he had fake degrees.
Super impressive.
They were pretty legit looking, although, you know, from the titles, I don't know that I would have bought it. But, you know,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, so I pulled up on one of the CNN articles that quotes from his website, but it was, "I use physiological, psychological, and mechanical methods such as air, water, light, heat, and earth to treat my patients."
Yeah. Earth?
Never, I want to see.
Never did I claim I to prescribe.
You thrust
a dirt on it. Is there any way to find like a Google review of his
health grade?
Of his clinic?
Look up his health grade.
Yeah, like Yelp.
The health score thing.
Health
grade. I bet you he would invest in friendly feces for friend and
friend. Yeah.
He's a naturopath?
He's got the money. I mean, he's open up clinics and.
Yeah.
His grandpa also told the newspaper, "He's not out doing drugs. He's not out trying to rob nobody. He's trying to do something constructive. And if he did something and the paperwork wasn't right, he can get ahead of himself sometimes. He may have been trying too hard.
The paperwork will get you."
But he had good intentions.
Of course he did.
He's also accused of forgery. He allegedly stole checks from an 86-year-old woman he was caring for. And when she had some sort of medical crisis, he called the ambulance and then stuck around to take some checks. So, there you go.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Did you find any reviews?
Gramps was giving
I pulled it up for a second, but it wants me to pay.
Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, Citizen Rust. He's like, I've seen this before. I'm familiar.
I just still like the parallel to Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
I concur.
It's probably what inspired him.
I concur.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe this whole med school thing isn't really necessary. Maybe you can Maybe if his case goes forward and he's found, you know, not guilty of whatever he's being accused of.
Just pull up some fake.
I say go for it.
I've made a huge mistake if that's the case.
Yeah.
Drop out immediately.
You just need some fake degrees and a poop chart.
And, right. And some plastinated poop. Like, some plastinated
poop. Earth, fire, air, and water to and heal people
earth,
with?
Yeah.
I just gotta be an airbender, basically. Yeah, I can do medicine.
Oh, Avatar, that's awesome. It's basically Captain Planet.
I got nothing else to talk about today.
Oh, you're doing so good.
I know, but, you know, if you have something you'd like to talk about.
No, it's okay. I'll think of more business ventures for next time.
All right. Let's end it on that note. Listeners, thanks so much for listening today. Thank you. I really want to thank you for listening to us. I just do, because typically, you know, we get to the end of the week. It's been a long week. It's kind of nice to know that you're here. Don't forget to share our show with others. Send us your questions or comments at theshortcoat.com. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We're looking for a new intern, so hit me up at theshortcoats@gmail.com. Show is made possible by a generous donation. Not that we want to get rid of you, Corey. I still, you know, still love you, babe. Show is made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine Student Government and the Writing and Humanities Program. Our executive producer is Jason Lewis. Our intern is Corey Christensen. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox, and our closing music is by C2C. Talk to you in 1 week.